What's going on? This is Robbie Uncut from the Conservative Rap Coalition. You're tuning to the Hip Hop Digest Show. Cheer, 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 cheer.
Wow, you get so much props. You just a 17-year-old. Lame-ass jit. Shit, I ain't worried about none of you old heads. I ain't with none of that lyrical shit. I just be having fun with what I do.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And goddamn, I got so many names, I don't know what to call myself this morning, so let's just go with E Green. What's up, brothers?
E420.
E420. Yeah, so I ain't forget.
E40's cousin.
Hey, here you go. But guess what, folks? Today, we got one of the worldwide listeners on with us, one of the strongest, most serious hip-hop heads we know out of Denmark, Copenhagen. What's up, man? Tell them who you are.
What's up? My name is Peter Johansson. Hi, guys.
All right. I know it's a lot of guys, people on the text chain like, oh, that's what he sounds like. Okay.
Pete, me off that super hip hop, yo.
Yeah, he's like, fuck everything that's not fucking real hardcore.
Exactly. It's the way to go, isn't it?
All right, that's what's up. So, Peter, if you've been listening to the show enough, you know we got a set of standard questions that we're going to put you on the spot right away. Obviously, the first question is, what is your record that you, your first hip-hop record that you bought with your own money?
It takes a Nation, I think it was the first one, actually.
Okay.
It Takes a Nation. Oh. Yeah, Public Enemy.
All right.
Just get that. I got a cat in the way. Okay, I'm here.
All right. And what is your personal top three MCs?
I'd say Kool G Rap and KRS-One today I would go with Kool Keith.
Okay.
God, I was expecting you to say Rock Marciano.
I was here waiting to hear it.
I was waiting for him to come up.
No. he's way up there, but no.
Okay, that's what's up. Copenhagen representing to the fullest. So let's get right in. You know what I mean? Get right in. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your boy and my boy, Kodiak Black, sentenced to a year in jail. It's been a year in jail for striking a deal with prosecutors on gun and marijuana charges. See, your boy Kodak, he was facing up to 12 years in prison on multiple charges, including grand theft of a firearm, gun possession, drug possession, child neglect, and probation violation. The charges of a possession by a convicted felon, third degree grand theft, and they were dropped. And anyway, the prosecutors got him a year in jail. You know, me and Kurt G was having a conversation about mandatory minimums and keeping people in jail. This is a perfect example. That's a lot of fucking charges.
This nigga went from 12 years to 12 months.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking charges dropped. And two, just due to the fact that budgetary constraints, you know, even on a state like Florida, yo, you know, keep a motherfucker in jail for, you know, 10 years behind that shit. That's a lot of money, even in a private prison.
Yeah. Meek should have been doing wheelies down there, huh?
Should have been on the beach with them wheelies.
Damn.
No doubt. So, that's what's up, Peter. Let me ask you about the justice, or at least jails or incarceration rates in Copenhagen. I'm assuming y'all don't got a lot of crime over there.
Well, I guess we do, but we don't have like life sentences and stuff like that. So people get off easier in a way.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
But you can get incarcerated with no. Then if you're convicted like mentally ill or something, then you'll be incarcerated with the, then you don't know when you get out. So you could be in like, on that account, you could be in like kind of forever.
Oh shit.
If you yeah.
Well, let me ask you, because I don't know, I haven't looked up any demographics or anything like that, but is there a, I almost said, is there an African American population, but is there a African Danish population there?
Yeah, yeah, there is. I wouldn't say African American, no, but yeah, there is. There is. We have
right.
I guess there is some, but yeah, there is. But we have a very strict immigration law. We're kind of known in the rest of Europe to be kind of fascist. We have really, really strict immigration laws. So,
well. Yeah. You know, as far as immigration, a lot of Africans didn't come to America through immigration. It was a little different trip here, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. That's true. we had a part in the slave business ourselves, like most Europeans.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I was just curious though, because you were talking about the sentencing and the way it goes about, and then, you know, here it's like you step on a crack, you going to jail for the most part.
Yeah. Here it's mostly about moral. You know, if the news, it get picked up in the news and it's get like a big story, then the crime will be, you'll be sentenced by that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The bigger the crime, the more the time. I mean, the bigger they make the crime, the more time, huh?
Yeah, in the news.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's up. Yeah. Let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is MTV relaunching Yo MTV Raps. Ooh. MTV will be relaunching the pioneering hip hop show MTV Raps as a linear and digital series. While details about the series is currently unclear, they're going to start the whole thing off with an all-star concert celebrating the 30th anniversary of the show. It takes place at the Barclays Center and will include legends, as including Dr. Dre, as in not West Coast Dr. Dre, East Coast Dr. Dre, Eric B and Rakim, Flavor Flav, Dougie Fresh, KRS-One, Kid Capri, Big Daddy Kane, and many others. The show will be hosted by Fat Five, Freddie, Ed Lover, and the East Coast Dr. Dre from Original Concept, signed to Def Jam. They will all appear.
Knowledge me, man.
Indeed. What I find to be interesting is why they, first of all, aren't relaunching it. For what reason? Because guys really ain't even rapping. So there's really, you know, you're calling it MTV Raps, but there's really not a lot of MCs, and MTV's not going to feature underground cats who are MCing.
Well, I'm hoping with a small glimmer, I mean a small glimmer, like that light at the end of a 20-mile tunnel, I'm talking about hoping that they at least put a spotlight on some of these guys that are actually spitting. People that coming up that you can say, okay, yeah, you will see a Nick Grant maybe
actually spitting. The new Nick Grant maybe.
I mean, but at least somebody with that skill level you will see on there, hopefully, not just these niggas that's just on there just looking at their money.
Well, I mean, what do you expect them to put up there? I mean, I know what you're saying, a small glimmer,
yeah,
you would
think.
But shit, the commercial cats that are on top now are the cats who are going to be up there, you know?
All it's going to be is an opportunity for them to bring these current rappers on, have conversations like they did with the other one. So I'm going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. Right. That's my small glimmer. I don't expect
Young boys don't give a fuck about that. I'm going to tell you that right off the break, son. Yeah, they don't give a fuck about that.
And especially
I'll watch
MTV.
That first one, though.
You going to watch the first one, right?
Especially.
Yo, say again, Peter.
Yeah, especially MTV. I'm with Duke and Killer. I don't. I can't see that they will support any underground acts anyway. So what will the show, Migos or what? I can't. It's like. I mean, let the past be the past. Why fuck it all over? Why always fuck up the legacy? I can't. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Maybe it's just a sign of the times. I don't know.
I'm in
agreement. Sequels aren't usually good.
I'm in agreement. That's just my small glimmer of hope that they at least give shine to somebody.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
You always got the hope.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the hope on this show. I keep hope alive.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is congratulations to Kendrick Lamar for winning the Pulitzer Prize. And I got this off the New Yorker, and it's titled, What Kendrick Lamar Pulitzer Means for Hip Hop. Let's see here. Kendrick wins the Pulitzer, the first hip hop compilation to be honored since the establishment of the Music Prize in 1943. The person goes on to write, it puts a shine on the hip hop community in a totally different way. That's a big moment for hip hop music. It most glaringly sets the stage for argument that the prize of intelligentsia, which has been diminished for its flow of popular music, may have a shrewder grasp on a cultural impact than the Grammys. So basically, millennials are still butthurt over a past couple of years, specifically Kendrick Lamar losing out the Grammy to Macklemore. Now, and basically saying the Pulitzer Prize know what time it is with hip hop more than the Grammys.
Well, that would be a lie.
Well, a number one, the Pulitzer or the Grammys don't give an issue really about hip hop. I believe that Kendrick Lamar got the Pulitzer to at least have the new generation understand what the Pulitzer is, but I mean, motherfuckers don't know nothing about hip-hop.
I just believe they were just placating a certain generation.
Right!
When they gave him that shit.
Right!
Which is like, you just gave him that shit.
Placating.
That's what they did. They just gave him that shit. Like, fuck it, here. We're going to give you this Grammy for an album that was so talked about as being so great when it's not even his best album.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't nobody praying for me.
And of course, and then, you know, the argument continues to fall down over generational lines, considering the fact that there are us who maybe say, damn, you know, Chuck D couldn't get a Pulitzer, or, you know, maybe even NWA as a group. Hell, I'd even be more happy if somebody like Brother Ali would get a Pulitzer, somebody who's really getting the information out there. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick Lamar will turn around, and I'm sorry, yo, but he'll turn around into a trap beat in a minute.
We're just sorry, X at
it. Yeah, I mean, there's guys out there who are really putting the information out there. And on the pantheon of hip-hop, like you said, they're honoring Damn, which ain't even his best album, which really ain't even in the best top 25 of hip-hop of all time. As far as I'm concerned, ain't even in that category. You know, and they're certainly not going to give an album from, you know, 2005 or 1995 the Pulitzer. But again, this generation, I'd like to highlight, you know, they that's a sort of feather in their cap. Well, we was the generation to get the Pulitzer. Nigga, you got that shit just on spec. Yeah, that's
Dang.
It.
And so what Pulitzer is doing is they're setting themselves up now to have to give somebody a fucking Pulitzer in rap.
Well, the problem is
in
when
the
you
future,
right, when
have
you
to
don't,
do it.
When you don't know anything about hip hop, then the people who are getting it and the people in the future who are going to be getting it are going to be substandard as long as commercial rap continues on this trajectory.
There you go. There's always got to be a first, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yo, let me not come off as mad. Yo, congratulations to Kendrick. You know, and hell, if anybody should get it, I guess why not him? You know, I ain't mad at that, but
it's better than a lot of them other niggas getting.
Ain't that the truth?
So
it sure
little,
is. But
little Malcolm
still,
got all kind of other thoughts than the goddamn Pulitzer. So I'm split on it. You know what I'm saying? It's good for Kendrick himself personally, but overall, who gives a fuck?
All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your boy RZA and his brother.
Not again.
Here we go. I'm just saying. I just wonder what's going on with these brothers. RZA and his brother accused of jerking Fourth Disciple for over 20 years. Fourth Disciple, a Wu-Tang associate producer, filed a lawsuit against RZA, Robert Diggs, and his brother, Mitchell Divine Diggs, the producers whose credits include all the members of the Wu-Tang Clan, as well as their affiliates, Killer Army, Sons of Man, Killer Priest, Grave Diggers, and others. According to the producer, he's been cheated out of millions of dollars in royalties since he signed a lopsided agreement with the brothers back in 1993. Fourth Disciple is seeking a full accounting of all the royalties in addition to a balloon payment of $500,000. RZA is looking like Birdman as far as royalty payments or worse.
That ain't new.
No, it's not.
I mean, he should all, you know what? All of that shit that he asked for should already be ready and available in boxes somewhere. They should be able to pull that shit right out. Because how many members of the Wu have done the exact same thing? So they should just be like, okay, what is his name? Oh, Fourth Disciple?
Insert.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, here's the paperwork right here.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is? I'm gonna be dead ass. The Fourth Disciple's not gonna get any fucking thing.
He signed some bullshit.
Right.
He signed bullshit.
There you go.
Hey, look, what, how, 93, you say?
93.
How many years ago was that?
A lot.
A lot of fucking years, my nigga. And it's still in, it's still, you got just signed, what the fuck is that you signed? That shit's lasting forever. That's worse than a 30-year mortgage, my nigga.
Yeah, he's not gonna get anything. He's not gonna get anything. Peter, let me ask you a question. As what I always wondered is a conscious about RZA. I mean, he's been, and in his management team, and his brother included, has been responsible for some of the best hip hop ever made. Look at the groups up there. You know what I'm saying? Or how are we to look at the RZA, you know, at least going forward, considering what he's given us?
You mean in the future? You
well,
mean,
yeah, I
what
mean,
we can expect?
Well, I'm just saying in the fact that it's a moral situation what I'm looking for. We're going to look at that situation like, you know, yeah, RZA is part of the Wu. He had all these groups. He had a master plan. But, yo, he was a dick. You know what I'm saying? I guess in a way, me personally, let me give you my example. I will never look at PMD the same for what he did to Eric Sermon.
No. Yeah. All this bullshit about being what Wu-Tang was representing was like this. We're the clan, we're the family. And being the first one with signing off with the different contracts, right? So so I guess it makes him look like a greedy fuck, and it's not much family, and like you said, it's not the first time, right?
And there's family in there. It's his him and his brother. Yeah. They're the ones getting fucking rich. The rest of the so-called family are getting fucked over and over again.
Yeah. So yeah, but I don't know. I'm not surprised because you said we've seen it before, and I don't even consider RZA being that great a producer anymore. So
okay, yeah, that's real. I mean, I think about this, yo, and I think of some, obviously Birdman is probably currently the most celebrated as the royalty thief. But everybody, you know, there's been a lot of guys under that situation. I mean, remember the interview we did with MC Shadi, Luke Records? I mean, he got a judgment of $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. Now, whether if he ever seen any of that money.
Well, Luke was jerking niggas too.
Master P. They all do.
Master
Nobody's
P jerking
exempt.
Niggas too.
Right.
They all jerking niggas.
So, all right.
But the difference with Wu-Tang Clan is that when they came out with 36 Chambers and like like I said, they made this the first act to being able to go out as solo artists and sign contracts on their own. You would expect something more from RZA. So, yeah.
Nah, maybe that's why they did that. Maybe that's why he, because he was getting all that bread. So he was like, shit, eventually it's going to be problems.
But the thing is that even though they went out and got their own contracts, RZA them and his brother was still a part of that deal.
Yeah, they were the management team.
So they were still getting bread off the contracts that they signed with other people.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So it's no different than any other story or any other label.
No, it's just the fact that RZA be on stage with these niggas, and I'm surprised that they don't fucking just knock that nigga out right on the stage while standing next to him like, yo, you owe me, nigga.
Well,
you saw Rocky Five, right? Hit me, I'll sue.
They keep going back and make albums.
Right, because they need the money. Together. And they know how big the group is. They know as a group, they make more money than as they do on a solo thing.
Right. And that's why, for me, EPMD is my particular benchmark. They still perform, but though they don't talk to each other. They, as a corporation, they get up there, they do their business, and then they go off each end, separate end of the stages, you know? And I think to a certain extent, that's, you know, maybe what it is. I don't know. I don't see them hanging out with RZA a lot, you know, but they certainly have a business that they got to attend to with that cat, so... You know, I hope Fourth Disciple get his money. I don't know that he will, but man, I tell you, you know, if you're a young guy, you don't go anywhere near that cat.
Well, there ain't no young guys fucking with him. I haven't heard RZA producing any Rattlesnake beats lately, so I don't think he's in the money and running for getting any contracts.
That's real. All right, let's keep it rocking. No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, your boy J. Cole returns with his new album, K.O.D., meaning Kids on Drugs, King Overdose, and Kill Ourselves, Our Demons, kill or our something. Demons, yeah, something to that effect. That's your boy. Now, I listened to the entire joint this morning before we got on the air as I'm getting my notes together. I'm going to be honest with you. J. Cole is a guy with a sober mind and a clear thinker. Now, what do you think of his beats or whether he's boring or not? I guess we can discuss that. But that's the one thing that I'm going to say about him, about the album. The only thing I can really say is fuck that singing. The young niggas with this singing shit is ridiculous. You know, fuck that. As far as that goes, I still say... You know, everybody sits up there and talking about they want this and they want that out of an artist or whatever. But Cole is still a very thought-provoking young man. And like I said, he's a clear thinker. Now, I don't know what all this fucking... What am I looking at? This little pump back and forth on the particular track. 1985 something. What's the name of that track? 1985 Intro to the Fall Off. It tells a very good story of current guys. To me, I think it was a shout out to his entire generation. Even though he might be talking to Lil Pump specifically, it's the last track of the album. If you don't want to waste time, just go to the last track of the album and listen to that. But man, he just lays out the entire brick for brick about how these young trappers are going to be here, make a lot of money and be really popular, and then come to a skittish end, if you will. So, but first of all, let's before I get to, what do you think about the album? You know, kiss it or diss it, hate it or love it, go in, Swerve, tell me what you think about that.
Well, TBH, to be honest, I haven't listened to it yet for a couple of reasons. I want badly to like J. Cole. That's real talk. I want to like J. Cole. But it's kind of like his style to me. Remember I used to say back early, like, he's just too whiny for me, right?
Right.
But because he's whiny doesn't mean that he's not putting out good content. So I struggle. I struggle because he's not the Migos. He's not some of these other cats out here. Not by far, he's not. But it's hard for me to find myself at a point where I'm like, oh, I gotta listen to this J. Cole. It's like I'll hear him spit something and I'll like it, but then when I listen to albums, volumes of his music, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to me. So it's I'm going to listen to it, but I'm just not in a rush.
That's real G.
Well, I gave it a scan this morning when I came over here to the lab. I gave it a quick scan and checked each cut. Beat-wise, I wasn't feeling it. As far as beat-wise goes, I'm like, track, skip, skip, skip.
Damn.
But as far as lyrics, like you said, he has content. He brings content to the table when he's actually talking about something, but he does whine. I'll give you that. But I do like the fact that he has content and he's not on my people's level. He's actually bringing another level of consciousness to the game. I guess you could say he's a string off of Common. He's coming from that tree to where he's going at in his career.
Yeah.
He's torn. I'm going to tell you that, though. He's torn, all the above, especially with the whining and elongated, whiny singing shit. He's torn because I think he has he's a clear thinker. So he would love to be a guy that would get up there and go all Common or all Chuck D on niggas. But he's torn because he is of this generation. And he's, man, that motherfucker's gritting his teeth to stay away from trap beats. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's why.
But I wouldn't care about that,
He has quasi-trap on there.
And that's generational, but he is gritting his teeth to try to strike a balance. That to me is what's holding him back. You know, fuck it. J. Cole, this is his generation. Ain't nobody going to blame you. I mean, niggas are calling you a sucker, but nobody going to blame you if you just go ham and just go all trap. This is your generation. You know what I'm saying? But he's torn because I think he sees trap as dumb shit. I think that. I really think he sees trap as dumb shit and struggles.
He's shooting darts.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I don't know. I haven't heard the album, and that didn't stop me from go out and rant on the text chain about it. But I don't know if that's what makes him dull, that he's torn. I don't know. It's kind of the same thing with Common for me. I really like Common, and I would really, like you, E. Green, I feel like I would really like to love Common, but there's something about him that, I don't know. It's the same with J. Cole. It's, I fall asleep.
That's real. That's real. That's 100. And I fully understand that. Although, again, the last track is really the only thing you got to listen to, I believe, on the album. Everything else is just a giant skip. But I suggest you listen to the last track on the album.
I'll do that.
Peter, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pete.
You saved me a lot of time, then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Look, when Pete said... makes him sleepy or tired, whatever, immediately came to mind Maybach music, right? But nighttime music.
Need that fucking NyQuil, huh?
I want to like J. Cole, though. I'm just putting that on record. I want to like that kid.
Okay, that's real. That's what's up. So I'm going to swerve. I got to ask you a question. Yo, you was fucking around with the Starbucks cup. You had an opinion about that?
Oh,
are we going to get in?
Part of waking up.
Yeah, I seen you with the Starbucks cup earlier. I said, this nigga.
As I have said in prior weeks, because I have this Starbucks cup doesn't mean there's Starbucks in there. You know what I'm saying? This Starbucks cup has seen a lot of things, man. But anyway, since we're talking Starbucks, I thought it was very interesting how the community is in an uproar, but don't really know how to act since that CEO was so human and so real about his response. And myself, I'm not a everyday Starbucks head by any stretch of the imagination, but at the same time, I'm looking at the the person who caused that situation in Philadelphia, the person who caused that shit in out here in LA that came along like a couple days later where dude couldn't get the bathroom code. But, you know, I'm surprised to see there's no boycott.
Well, you had a couple of people calling for boycotts. I, for one, I'm looking at this and I'm going to ask straight ass. Boy, what the fuck are you boycotting for? Okay, yeah, them two cats in Philly got caught in a very bad situation.
Yeah, they did.
And two, like you said, as an organization, we have seen organizations, namely police organizations, sit on their hands. Starbucks, they got on that. Right, I don't know what you wanted from Starbucks other than what they did.
Right, but this is my thing on this whole thing. And I'm coming with the realism here.
Uh-oh.
Why the fuck would you even be upset with Starbucks to begin with? It ain't Starbucks that did this shit. It's an employee of Starbucks. They can hire someone and you can say they should have had a better judgment in who they hire. You can give them demerits for that shit. But to say, to be mad at a whole corporation because of what one motherfucker did. You know what I'm saying? What are you mad about? If that's the case, then you might as well be mad with every fucking company in America, across the world, basically. Be pissed off. Because somebody in that motherfucker done pissed you off. You done walked into McDonald's and the fucking cashier done pissed you off. So now you mad at every fucking McDonald's. I'll boycott them motherfuckers. The cashier pissed me off.
That nigga showed it my fries.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. So what are you getting mad about? You boycotting for what? And especially since the CEO, like you said, he jumped up and said, you know what? We're wrong about the situation. Yeah. No, even though he had a fucking ulterior motive. I'm just saying, I think he did But I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because he know what his customer base would have fucking started acting up.
Because so he didn't want that to
happen.
Mad.
That was white people mad. He didn't want that to happen.
Right. I mean, look. First of all, he's in business to make money, and his money was getting threatened. So of course he had a mea culpa. And you behind the scenes, you know, yeah, it was some other shit. But I don't know. I guess I look at that situation and I'm like, yo, certain people love to whip that shit up. And let me tell you something, man. Boycotting, and the word boycott to me is the most overused word. I'm not even saying that Starbucks did or didn't deserve the boycott, but it's so overused. I mean, ever since that Monique shit and everybody who got there, we need the boycott.
Point is, King Killer, though, the word is overused, but the action is never used.
It's never used. Because motherfuckers don't have conviction. That's what they don't have. They lack conviction. They'll sit there and sit out for a couple weeks and say this, that, and the third and be mad as fuck. But when the next trending topic pops up, let's boycott that. What happened to the shit that you was mad about 2 weeks ago? That don't matter no more?
Anybody say
H&M?
Yeah, I was going to say, so that reminded me of Swerve talking about, you know, after that big H&M thing, how he saw blackheads in H&M, or how he seen a bunch of blackheads out at the outlets and shit on Black Friday. So, you know, no doubt. So you're right. The word is overused, but the action is never used.
They never really use the action.
That's no doubt. No doubt. So,
and little Malcolm didn't even have to come out on that one. That coffee be calling me, man.
I'm gonna be dead people ass. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I just said, yeah, people need their coffee. So.
Definitely.
$4 a cup.
You better believe it.
I'm gonna just be on record here. I don't drink coffee because I don't like the taste of it. And even if I did, I don't know, man. It's expensive, yo.
Shit, me and Higgy was talking before the set. He talking about his Keurig warming up. I'm like, yo, I wish I had stock in Keurig before it blew up. That shit took off.
Yeah.
Everybody fucking loves coffee.
We have a couple of Starbucks in Copenhagen, but I don't know the price just in the U.S., but here it's fucking expensive. And you have to go through 20 questions before you can have your coffee. You want it... with soy milk, you want it fat, you want it blah blah blah, you know. So
look, hold on, son, though, for real, if I'm in Copenhagen, I'm looking for a different kind of coffee shop.
You're looking for the herbals.
Exactly.
You're welcome, I'll show you.
All right, let's keep it moving. Next stop, going to Hip Hop Digest, and I hope our boy Swerve watched it. But Rapture, episode 2. We're going to cover each joint on this Rapture thing. Episode 2, Nas / Dave East. The first thing, I'm going to start this. So the first thing is this co-billing. That's strictly a business decision. That's all. Well, I mean, Nas, Dave East.
It makes sense, though. It makes sense. Being that Nas signed him, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. Indeed.
It wasn't like Nas and Soulja Boy. You know what
I'm saying? My second bullet point is Nas. Obviously, he's telling a different story about Nas. Showing a little bit of transformation from Nas the rapper to Nas the businessman. You're getting that flavor. He's making moves. He's in New York buying apartments and shit. You know, he's a long way before he ends up, where the mogul and the corporate are. But, you know, he's...
Well, we think.
Well, yes, Nas is moving on the low.
He's secretive with his shit.
He's keeping his bread moving. But I would rate that he's probably got at least a couple hundred million under his belt.
Well, with his motherfucking goober grabbing wife, he need to keep it on the low.
Damn, that's a goober.
Damn. Hey, man, I'm telling you. Barry.
Well, golly.
It's a good cracker.
Ooh, trying to get Andy Griffin put off the air.
The next bullet point I got is the Killer Mike got a lot of screen time, which I thought that was cool. That was like sort of two real professional MCs, two real lyrical guys sort of, you know, bouncing back and forth. That I think that was a real good hip-hop look, you know, as far as that goes.
And good to see Last Professor as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's no doubt. Lars Professor. Can't forget about him.
I always like to see when guys still have a close relationship. You know what I mean? After all those years.
Yeah.
To see that they're still tight, unlike RZA fucking people over.
Mm. Ooh,
but also with the rumor, with the reputation that Nas got, right? Like all the Queensbridge people hating him. So it's good to see that they these two people are still together, making shit together still.
Yeah, oh yeah, no doubt. My next bullet point would be your boy, I guess it's kind of part two, is Dave East, obviously from Queens, Ravenwood Project Housing. Largely discovered by Nas's brother, at least that's how the documentary kicks it off here. Dave East, who, you know, come from at least a part-time two-parent household. Obviously, he must have grew up in a lot of turmoil. Full basketball scholarship.
Yeah.
He runs that all the way to doing a 6-month bid in jail for selling drugs. I found out he went to Springbrook High School in Silver Spring, Maryland. And then after that, Towson University on a basketball situation. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about Dave East. He's not my cup of tea. He's being marketed to me as a French Montana with street credibility. That's the way to me he comes off.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you fully on that, B. With French Montana?
He's being marketed as a French Montana type with street credibility.
Wow.
Have you listened to Dave East?
Yeah.
And he sound like French Montana to you?
I know. He's being marketed as a French Montana type. I didn't say he sound like French Montana, but again, see what I mean by marketing? When he stand next to French Montana, he don't look broke. That's the marketing hook.
He look regular to me. I don't know. I like Dave East. I'm not saying I don't like French Montana. I just don't think I've ever heard any of his music, honestly. If I did, I didn't know it. Except for him saying that word that somebody else was saying they said or whatever. But, I don't know. I got a little better appreciation out of seeing the Dave East part of that. Because, like I said, that song that he did where they sampled that Dick Gregory or whatever that was, I really like that joint. And I see that he has potential to be, again, like our man J. Cole. He can rhyme. But is he a young boy stuck in that trap you keep talking about? Excuse the pun. But trying to be with the young, but be lyrical. So it kind of gives you has your meter just all messed up. You can't really get a bead on him, right?
Well, he's probably too scared to go too far in one direction. Like I said, he can't go too lyrical because it's not going to play. And then he can't go too dumbed down.
It looks like it.
It's not going to play.
Yeah, it looks like it. And then you got the same problem again. Then you'll be what? Something in between? I've heard some Dave East, and he really got skills, but some of the beats, shit.
See,
I don't know.
Right, and that's what I mean. See, you guys, the minute I said Frenchmont Frenchy, y'all motherfuckers is like, yo, they putting him in a Frenchy box. No, he's what I mean by, again, marketing. He looked like he has the Frenchy trappings on, you know, and Frenchy talks street shit too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, French been talking street shit from the beginning.
That's what I'm saying. French, but now French ain't got no lyrics. French whack. I get that, but I'm just saying, in order to sort of get over, in order to sort of make the wheels turn, he can't come out as the 92 Nas reinvented. Them motherfuckers will look at him like, oh, that's another underground broke nigga and shit. So we gotta make him. So what I mean by that, he's in the video, he's in the documentary flashing a lot of money, driving a lot of expensive cars. Okay,
he drove one car in that shit, a fucking Range Rover. Was you talking about his daughter's little matching white toy Range Rover? I mean, I don't know, B. I just
I'm not shitting on him.
He came off as regular.
I'm not shitting on him. I don't think he came off as regular. I think that there's the marketing plan. B, you gotta do that in order to even fucking matter to these young niggas.
To me, the real story behind all of this, and I was listening to his father and his mother talk more than I was listening to what he was saying and what was going on with him and his daughter and all that stuff. I was listening to his father and his mother talk. So that's where I always reached behind the story. So I'm listening to them, and what I got to this is a kid coming up that was given every opportunity to make it.
Yeah.
And he fucked it up. And that's what happened.
No doubt.
He fucked it up. And he was given all the opportunities, and he fucked it up, and then he couldn't find a way to get back to that. And rap saved his ass to keep him out the fucking bing. And that's what happened. So,
are we mad at that?
No, not at all. I'm not upset about that, but that's what happened. A kid that had an opportunity to do good, but fucked it up. Which is the story of a whole lot of Americans, not just black.
Right. And don't have a fallback for rap or some industrial thing. They just ass out once they fuck up one time. So, I mean, I don't know. I look at it a whole bunch of different ways. It shows hope. It shows that with determination and seriousness, because apparently the dude was writing volumes of rhymes. So, I mean, you
so
just got to...
So, let me ask you a question. I got to ask you a question, yo. Did it sound like I was dissing him?
It came off as a little... It came off as a little slight towards him, like he was being fake in some kind of way. To me, like he wasn't really...
I mean, French Montana...
Frenchie
really did it.
Right, Frenchie, and put it like this. Frenchie comes off fake, but Frenchie came in real street shit. That's no bullshit. Frenchie came up with some real street shit, but because of his image,
but
fucking with Diddy and his image makes him come off real fake, like this nigga ain't real. This nigga, you probably smack him, he won't do shit. You know what I'm saying? That's the way he come off.
He was down with back.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Sorry? He was down with Max B, wasn't he?
Yes, and I'm saying, you know, niggas know Max B was about that real shit. But I'm so but being Frenchie comes off as being fake, and when you mention Frenchie's name, like that really took the slope over the fucking edge. Like, nigga, what?
Okay, all right, that's real. I jive stand by it. I still say that they're going to market him in that same mold. That don't mean he is him, but in order to get over, there's no way you're gonna market him as a righteous street poet out of Queens. You're not gonna do it.
What you scared of?
You can market him as that, but I don't know if it's gonna fly.
Well, I mean, so that's what's up.
I want him to succeed. I want him to see the light and spit like he can. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, now, all that being said, I'd rather him you know, than others. I mean, and I guess what I mean by that is that isn't he the really pretty much, and again, I'm not saying this as a diss, but isn't he, again, you know, maybe a better Troy Ave with credibility? You know, I mean, I'm looking because I'm not dissing, but I don't see the resonance out of Dave East. I mean, he's nice, you know what I'm saying? But
he does rhyme over a lot of trap beats, trap style beats. I do hear Dave East on a lot of that.
Okay, there you go. That's where now we hitting the pavement.
Okay, but he's mumbling.
But he's not mumbling.
No, he's not.
He's not mumbling. He's actually rhyming over them shits. So I will give him that.
Powder.
So I mean, you know, shout out to that. Yo, that's Rapture episode 2. You know, we'll continue to cover one each week. So that's what's good. All right, and this is a topic on the Hip Hop Digest. I'm going to hit this real quick because it's one of those misdirection topics. I didn't know how to bring it. GQ interviewed Iggy Azalea, and it did a little profile on her.
First off, B, nah, I'm not going to say it.
Nah, well, go ahead. Because you're going down. Because, see, I don't want you to go down the rabbit hole
because
of Iggy
Azalea. Because I was
about
to say, B, Iggy Azalea, really?
You're right, no, but it's not really,
really
about
nigga?
Her.
Dick fried ass, blog ass nigga.
Really, nigga? Really, nigga?
I get it, but like I tried to warn you, it's a misdirectional topic here. It sort of brings the topic, but what you want to get to is the meat of the interview. And really what it came down to is that Iggy Azalea's rise to fame and how everybody thought that, you know, she's a culture vulture and she's undeserving. I mean, there's no need for us but to talk to, other than the fact that, and I'm going to say this again, I'm going to continue to pound on this, is that African Americans, the year that Iggy Azalea and Macklemore felt it slipping out of their hands, and there has been no improvement in the art from any point of view since that 2014 debacle.
So I'm a little confused by what you just said.
Okay.
You said they felt it slipping out of their hands. Right. Felt it slipping out of their hands.
African-American celebrity or commercial rap African-Americans.
So they felt it slipping out of their... They felt right. Stardom slipping out of their hands because of what Iggy and Macklemore was doing.
Right. Because they almost took over the entire game. Let me tell you something. If Iggy Azalea would have blown... And blown the way that her label and her handlers thought she would, there'd be no Cardi B right now. Now, this is strictly commercial, but what I'm saying is that African Americans did not heed the lesson, and I'm not propping them up, because to me, they're part of the problem. Because what have we gotten since then? And it's not about females. You got Cardi, which, you know, oh my God, how can you not love Cardi? You know, Bodak and Yachty. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what the fuck? Really?
Cardi's entertaining, I'll give her that. But I ain't fucking with her music.
So give her a fucking Kardashian spinoff show. You know, what's the fucking difference?
She was already
difference?
On one of those.
She already had that.
She's already been there, done that. What's that? Love
and
hip hop.
The only thing left for her to do now is go legit.
So I guess my point is, it's not really about Iggy and her situation, but to me, it's about, again, to me, African American apologist for the poor quality of commercial rap and how it's 4 years later and they still haven't learned a goddamn thing.
Well, let me get in right here. So I'm literally trying to think of the name of the song that Iggy Azalea had that came out that had everybody rocking and repeating that shit. I can't remember it, but I just know that it was huge. And guess where it was huge? It was huge on fucking black radio.
Of course.
So I don't want to hear no crying or complaining or none of that, because them people didn't put themselves there. The listeners did. And I'm going to always fall back on the listeners. So nobody calls the radio station and say, get that shit out of here. They don't say that because they too busy reciting those lyrics over. And I said lyrics, I should say words over and over and over again. So I'm not blaming them, those artists. I'm not blaming them at all. I'm not blaming the industry either. I'm blaming the people that fell into that Pied Piper shit, and now you're trying to look back and change the story. Nah, nigga, they didn't make themselves famous.
No doubt. And anyway, and even if you wanted to talk about her, she's just as clueless as can be back then and even now. So, I mean, certainly, you know, I'm glad that she is really basically not persona non grata, illegitimate. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I can get with that because it's true, you know. But yep. Don't try to feed me, you know, don't try to feed me something and tell me it's caviar when it ain't.
Exactly. But you know. You already know. If all you had was hot dogs your whole life, you don't know what the fuck steak tastes like.
Yeah, that's real.
So, use that analogy.
Still, you might get steak and think that shit nasty. Be like, what the fuck is right. The hot dogs at? This some nasty exactly. Ass shit.
Exactly.
That's what's up. So, all right. So, you know, Curtis, tell me you got it together.
Nigga.
Tell me you got it together.
I'm ready.
Oh, I was about to say, I heard the bus coming on. He was turning the key.
Oh, he was setting me up. He called me by my government. Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah, yeah. All right. That's what's up. Kerr G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week, we got Mike Bless, Audio Vox. That's Mike Bless, Audio Vox. And we got Mr. Slips, It Don't Stop. That's Mr. Slips, It Don't Stop. And the instrumental joint is Dr. Dundiff Money Beats. That's Dr. Dundiff Money Beats.
That's what's good. Yo, before we get out of here, I'm going to go up to Second Story Books and go record shopping.
It's record store day.
Yeah. So
there you go.
I'm getting ready to do that.
Yeah, but I saw, I'm sorry. I know we got to get out, but I just want to ask Peter, like, for real question. Like, what got you into hip hop from being over there? What got you into this shit?
I've been listening to a lot of different genres like punk and jazz and all these things, but I kept going back to hip hop because I don't know, it's the real shit, even up here in the cold north. I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's just, yeah, I fucking love it. What can I say?
It's something you feel, baby. Hip hop ain't something that you can just listen to on the radio. It's something you feel. It's in your heart, my nigga. Once it grabs a hold of you, you can't help it. You gotta love it.
And then my last question is a political question. How do folks over there view America at this time?
I guess it's like when it's kind of like the same when we had Bush Jr. around. if you think about Trump, so yeah, I don't know. It's he's like the big joke around here, even though we're fucking scared of him. Yeah. And then we got Mr. Putin in our backyard as well. So,
oh, you're surrounded.
So before we get out, I got one question. What's the last piece of vinyl you bought?
I think it was. I was in Berlin. I bought the Dub Hop by the Doppelgangers.
Oh
my nipple!
Dope.
Yes.
Dope.
I love them.
Yeah, Doppelgangers. Woo. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So
that's what's up. We appreciate that piece of art you drew for us with King Killer.
Oh, we was cracking up.
that panda, yo.
Yeah, down.
We gotta share that photo with all the listeners. Put that on the cover or something. That shit's crazy. Yeah,
that's what's up.
Thank you.
No doubt. Peter, we are so glad you got a chance to get on the show. And whatnot. Obviously, we'll be hearing from you on the text chain. So,
no doubt. And thank you for having me.
Indeed.
Not a problem. Yeah.
Yo, so your brother's got to hurry up and run to the chain because somebody is getting kicked in the head for talking shit about little brother. And they've been going at it for a minute as I've been monitoring here. It's crazy. And I'm going to also, I said I was going to do an investigative report on sampling. Yo, I'm very sad about that, B. I'll talk about it next week. Very sad.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll see y'all next week then.
Peace. All
right, B. Yo, peace.
Oh.
mind when this shit, niggas. I mean, it's a cycle of shit.
Tomahawk blades, all up in your face. You're caught up in the maze like the mind of a slave. Your daughter in the cage, I slaughter your mains. Smoke a whole joint to set their coffin to blaze. I give them war and kill them all in this pistol talk. Tell my nephew get the fuck about the liquor store. Poor man shit, you sick but I'm sick of more. Even without trees, I know G's out in Singapore. Life of a young thug, mumble rap killer. Chilling in the villa with a fly Filipina. Hotter than jalapeno, shorty more to Aquafina. My mind's still dirty but demeanor got cleaner. I'm too cold for this rap shit, and the flow is attractive. Fuck without those who keep coke in their mattress. Go for the gusto, jump ship so we shot your bus. Windows will never end, my eyes are see my oxygen butt.
We don't play the funny shit. Bars like bullets keep 100 clips. Still keep something close, cause niggas nowadays be eating the most. Still try to spread love and pray for the ghost of a dead dog. All for prosperity. It's all for prosperity. Yo. Legendary arms call them Tom Brady's. Cookie smoke floating out the calm Sadies. Damp nights with no counselors. Hit your camp nights, check the stamp price. Pop Paula Patton's, you could call your captain. You couldn't ever match me with all of your rapping. Inf nigga, hawk with the strength nigga. Enough in the clip to hit the 10th nigga. Prepare for what I do to the beats. Brutally teach and hit the bitch that wanna screw me the least. You get killed for what you do to police. That's the crucial speech. These niggas acting like they new to the beast. God help them, Satan too close. Hit the bacon with toast and break fast, heading straight to the coast. But I'm just trying to live properly. Cop property. The good meets evil dichotomy. Shit. We don't play the funny shit. Bars like bullets keep 100 clips. Still keep something close, cause niggas nowadays be hating the most. Still try to spread love always and pray for the ghost of a dead dog. All for prosperity. It's all for prosperity.
Sunset Street, park a Jeep on him. I killed Shay 45, I was sleepwalking. Shorty pop his lip, I just see me talking. Lame's mute without computers, word to Steve Hawking. Link will recognize, I've been weaponized. The heat intensifies, but I'm dead inside. Dudes petrified, get shook and disappear. That's a real edgy, sketchy vibe. Threaten mine to Wesson and your rectum till it's rectified. God don't make mistakes, I'm a work of art. I only let a chicken suck me in a certain car. Right. You say you really with the shits, I haven't heard a fart. No. A rapper hit me for a verse, deserve a purple heart. Courageous. Hit stages like contagion. Back on my bullshit, minus the grazing. Page a surgeon. Sold earth, winning fire for my new attire. Acquire leverage, you can choose the buyer.
We don't play the funny shit. Bars like bullets keep 100 clips. Still keep something close, cause niggas nowadays be hating the most. Still try to spread love always and pray for the ghost of a dead dog. All for prosperity. It's all for prosperity.
Thank you. MCs don't like my style, cause it makes this shit sound corny. But I got so much to say. MCs nowadays are boring, but you can keep touring and touring and touring until you're far away. Cause I don't need your negativity clouding my day. Toxic haze like hypnotical gases. Move quick, believe the bass would leave cities in ashes. Alert the masses, they couldn't shake me on the Richter scale. I push the pen so hard it breaks all of my fingernails. And plus the ground I'm on, I mean come on, dog, there's gotta be a better solution. Cause how you think is wrong, it's not turbio, whirlwind of emotions. I'm trying to get some space right now, steadily coasting on a cool breeze. I'm the bee's knees, your opinion don't mean jack to me. Yo, I came in the door, said it before. No, they don't like my style anymore, but that's a aight. That's a aight. That's a aight. That's a aight. Hey, yo, I came in the door, said it before. No, they don't like my style anymore, but that's a aight. That's a aight. That's a aight. That's a aight.
It's a thin line between good and crap. It's a thin line between dope and whack. It's a thin line between art and trash. Sometimes it's a thin line to walk, think fast. Peep the track, hold it in with the instruments. Exhale with the vocals mixed with it. Bass kick with the heavy ass snare. So heavy it'll get you out your chair. So rare, but put you back like you ain't going nowhere. Give you chills like prickles on your arm hair. Sixth sense, not just repeating trends. Rather making something new out of old threads for your head. Something for your head. That's what the doctor scripted in the end. In the beginning, there was nothing but the music. I'm slipping, energy shifting. Now it's pedal to the left.
Yo, I came in the door, said it before. No, they don't like my style anymore. But that's a aight. That's a aight.
That's
a aight.
That's
a aight.
That's
a aight. Hey, yo, I came in the door, said it before. No, they don't like my style anymore. But that's a aight.
That's
a aight.
That's
a aight.
That's
a aight.
Sector like an Air Force pilot in your district with a distinct dialect. Fakes and dollar bins, folks ain't buying it. A never ending story, glory ain't finding it. They protest saying you too frank. This test fraudulent, it's a YouTube prank. At the Boohoo Bank, they can save the tears until they finally cash out and face the fears. Won't deviate, I devastate the 50 states and 10 provinces. I'm through with nonsense, I'm in my offices of the rhythm and the rhyme with the illuminated sign. Still TEE, and I'm right on time. You know I'm right on time.
You know I'm right on time.
When my pen combines
with the depths of the mind.
Hey, yo, I'm right on time.
You know I'm right on time.
So spit a few lines
with the rhythm and the rhyme.
Here I go with it, without the use of opiates. The pro show, slow bros, how bold the pro could get. Elevate the medium, segregate from greedies and the deviant. And I remain flyer than Expedia. P is a 10K, probably hitting 19. Mic fiend since I had my cross colors dry clean. Since I had the boss all white jeans. Should've never heard me, myself and I, geez. I flew off the rails, never flew off of the shelves. We dropped take the L, then niggas began to quell. The shuttle came promptly and in the end burned a red Von P. Holler if you copy, y'all.
You know I'm right on time.
You know I'm right on time.
When my pen combines
with the depths of the mind.
Hey, yo, I'm right on time.
You know I'm right on time.
Spit a few lines
with the rhythm and the rhyme.
I time out from the drama and hysteria. Strictly business, I vacated the area. I went to India, I went to South America. I left it open for the next torch carrier. Famous ignoramuses, yo, I'm back to bury the fraudulent counterfeits. Show them how we do it. Leaving shook, dumbfounded, leaving foolish. Ripping YCC from the birds to downtown. The 4-3 kings of the 4-4 beatdown. DFE, definitely feeling energy. DFE defining fresh every day, be. Put it out there so it's on the line.
mind. See, I'm never culpable to any audible crime. See, there's much more when I spit in my rhymes. It's still that brother TK, yeah, I'm right on time. Right on time. You know I'm right on time. You know I'm right on time. When my pen combines with the depths of the mind. Hey, yo, I'm right on time. You know I'm right on time. Time, spit a few lines with the rhythm and the rhyme. You know I'm right on time. You know I'm right on time. When my pen combines with the depths of the mind. Ayo, I'm right on time. You know I'm right on time. Spit a few lines with the rhythm and the rhyme.
Living in the town, but it cost a grip. Hotbed of drugs, murder, and politics. Back before the hipster apocalypse. Wrote rhymes in my room and I was lost in this. Been a minute since I had a job with benefits. Sold shoes when I didn't have a pot to piss. It ain't Williamsburg, it ain't the new mission. It ain't Brooklyn or the West where I'm living. I steal your fixie bike and drink your blue ribbon. Bloody streets where the crime rate's risen. Straight bullets that hit innocent victims. Murdering muralists and killing musicians. Police gangsters, terror technicians. Something changed, it feels kinda different. Rent's up so high, got me feeling low. I don't wanna leave, but I might need to go. Wanna know why everyone is complaining. Can't afford to live in the neighborhood I was raised in. Rent's up so high, got me feeling low. I don't wanna leave, but I might need to go. Wanna know why everyone is complaining. Can't afford to live in the neighborhood I was raised in.
Family's been here for generations. Roots run deep in a location where people speak your language and know your story and share your destiny, grief and the glory. White nights, red lines and white flight. Shiny suburb, chocolate ghetto midnight. Racism in the G.I. Bill. A vanilla ass middle class scene got built. Still, New Orleans gave jazz to the world and East Oakland let the radicals build. And Village of Harlem, the cultural renaissance. Slaves built D.C. and lived on. But if the fast food they sell you and the crack that they deal you and the lead in the water that they pass through the filter, or the police to shoot you in the back while they filming, or the levees get crack water crash through your building, all that didn't kill you. You're just that resilient, working class immigrant, young, black, and brilliant. Poor white allies smashing on the system. Here come the cat with the capital to flip it. Oppression make property dip deep, but you resisting it all, give it mystique. They gon' come and redevelop it eventually. Price you out, you be an economic refugee. They no longer gotta sick dogs on ya, long as a bodega turns Starbucks on ya. Now you gotta up and wander way off yonder to another town where nobody understand or want. Damn.
Rent's up so high, got me feeling low. I don't wanna leave, but I might need to go. Wanna know why everyone is complaining. Can't afford to live in the neighborhood I was raised in. Check it out though. Hella hearts, Oakland shirt, he just moved here. Plaid flannel, tight pants and cool beard. Graphic designer, DJ mixologist. Cookie cutter, cool cracker, it's monotonous. Poor families are pushed out of communities for yoga studios, wine and charcuterie. Doggy daycare and two or three breweries. Affordable is what my neighborhood used to be. I got a $6 coffee and a $20 burger at a hip bar with bocce. How many selfies can one take for fuck's sake? Bacon, sriracha, mac and cheese, cupcakes. Straight bullets, they hit innocent victims. Murdering muralists and killing musicians. Police gangsters, terror technicians. Something changed, it feels kinda different. Rent's up so high, got me feeling low. I don't wanna leave, but I might need to go. Wanna know why everyone is complaining. Can't afford to live in the neighborhood I was raised in. Rent's up so high, got me feeling low. I don't wanna leave, but I might need to go. Wanna know why everyone is complaining. Can't afford to live in the neighborhood I was raised in.
Yo, V, bring the beat in. Yeah, that's all right. Oh, man. Yo, G.
Yo,
Cool
up?
G. Yo, I'm doing this record. We got Big Daddy Kane over there. We all gonna do just one part because, you know, we came a long way. You know, from back in the Martin Luther King days, Malcolm X.
Ain't hard to tell.
Now that we see Nelson Mandela's free, we gonna talk about this. We gonna talk about this racism. Stop that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we gonna stop that. So, G, why don't you just do your rhyming part, and then I'll come on after you.
All right, check it out.
Here we go.
Yo, I'm trying hard to explore. I'm not sure what all the racial wars for. It's making me more sore. I walk through a colorblind corridor, seeking for peace in the people I'm meeting. Black, white, and Puerto Rican men are greeting each other just like brothers. There's plenty and many of others you can't discover. Kids, fathers, and mothers. A melting pot. No one felt the got prejudice. Listen, I can never assist someone this. A landscape with a dark and a light handshake. Having fun without one being a fake snake. So let's form a rainbow over the mountain, and it's drained from the same water fountain. Let's make our Earth Day story of people that walk through the same territories. Color or creed is no need for a man to bleed. I believe we all breed the same seed, unless it's diluted with something that intruded. Then I see your family tree was uprooted. So don't be foolish if you're Jewish or Hindu. The racial menu is the evil that men do. I was raised in a nation of Asian. Hate shouldn't separate Jamaican from Haitian. So if you're caving in your ears, I hope you hear me in. Siberians, no better than Nigerian. I bring a rattle to a battle that you send me in. I'm no villain, so why would I be killing Indians? My nationality's reality. And yo, a prejudiced man is of a devil mentality. These are words of a wise man, wisdom. Take a taste and erase the racism.
Is black, the page is white. Together we learn how to read and write. People are black, got people, that's why. Let's stop racism and let's unite. Yo, Kane, why don't you do your part and then let me do mine and we get out of here. Go ahead.
In the days of slavery, some got to run away and many got done away. Inferiority is what some men say, but that shit played out with Kunta Kinte. Then again in the streets of New York, I think of Yusef Hawkins and I see it still stalking. And when I think of areas like Benson Hearst, notice how I mention hers. We got to better this world of prejudice. People make peace and learn to live equal. Cause I don't look at myself as a coon or a mooly that would have to say massa. You better believe that I'm an Asiatic descendant, and I know what's been amended and intended. So let's fulfill and get real and try to build a united nation. Eliminate segregation. I know there's different strokes for different folks, but I've also acknowledged what hatred provokes. So don't hate me or try to underrate me, cause I collect ends, drive a Benz and live greatly. And we can all live together in harmony, without thinking what color is harming me. If I'm a slave, I'm a slave to the rhythm, to E-R-A-S-E, the racism.
The ink is black, the page is white. Together we learn how to read and write. Some people are black, there's people that's white. Let's stop racism and let's unite. To the black and white, the red and the yellow, to all the nationalities, I like to say hello. And I hope they stop racism, and it's coming from our hearts. Me, Cool G Rap, Polo, Big Daddy Kane, Cool V, and of course the Diabolical and Biz Markie. I hope you stop racism. Peace.